I have been preaching in a series that I've called All I Want for Christmas. All I want for Christmas is hope, and all I want for Christmas is peace. All I want for Christmas is joy. Today, I want to share with you a message called All That I Want for Christmas is Love. Now, it's interesting to go on the internet and see the things that are happening in our community and world today. You know, I've been told that Santa takes advantage of technology in our modern age. I've been told that Santa uses GPS to get around in the world. I've been told that he uses an iPhone and that he uses the internet. Did you know that you could email your Christmas wish list to Santa, to Santa Claus, at emailsanta.com? Now, just in case you didn't know that, you still have a day left to finish this request. That particular website gets over 1 million emails a year, and among those emails are there some intriguing comments that have been published. One of them, there's a little boy named Sam that emailed Santa Claus, and he wrote, he says, "I'm sorry, but I don't have a chimney. I'm leaving the cat flap open. But please watch out for the litter box." There's another little boy that wrote Santa, and his name was Alex. He was 8 years old, and he says, "Thank you for the remote-controlled car last year. Even though it broke the day after, I know you tried, and that's what counts." Here is a young boy named Art, and he wrote, he says, "I'm sorry for putting all that X-Lax in your milk last year. He said, but I wasn't sure if you was real. My dad was really mad." Chris emailed Santa saying, "Mommy and Daddy say I have not been very good these past few days. How bad can I be before I lose my present?" Kayla, age 9, she wrote this. She says, "Please don't bring me any more new clothes." Rosanna, now here's what you need to hear. Rosanna, 11 years old, she wrote, "Santa, do you know that Jesus is the real reason for Christmas? I'm not trying to be mean, but he is." Now, these were actual emails sent to Santa at santaemail.com. Did you know Jesus is the real reason that we're celebrating Christmas? Well, of course you do. That's why you're here, right, this morning? To celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas? But how do you know that he's the reason for this season? Let me tell you a story about a little boy named Joey, and about his big present under the Christmas tree. When the presents were being handed out in his home on Christmas morning, Joy had the biggest present that was under the tree that had been wrapped. And as he looked and he realized his name was on that package, he says, "Is this really mine? Is this big present really mine?" And it sure was. And as soon as Joy knew that it was his, that was his present under the tree, he tore into the package. And what do you think that he found inside this big box, the biggest box under the tree? What do you think was inside that large box? Well, it was this, for sure. It was the best Christmas present Joy had ever received. What do you think it was? Well, Let me just say this. We all have ideas of what we think the best present would be for Joy, or sometimes we think, what would be the best present that we might receive for Christmas? Don't we think that? We can all picture in our mind what would be the best present. Think about that for a moment. What would be the best present that you could receive tomorrow morning as you get up to celebrate Christmas Day? How do you measure the value of a present? How do you judge its worth to make it that would be the best present that I ever received? How do you judge that? How do you measure that? By its size? By its weight? How do you judge it? By its cost? Or perhaps its usefulness? What I would like to do this morning is to examine a present that you have received. A present that God has given to you and to me. It isn't wrapped up. It doesn't have a bow on it. It's not necessarily under the tree as one of the wrapped packages. But it is. It is here. And it is given for you. Follow along with me as I read God's Word. We read it already this morning. This is how God showed His love for us. God sent His Son into the world so that we might live through Him. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage that been done in our relationship to God. My dear, dear friend, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. Now this is the reading of 1 John 4:9-11 in the Message Bible by Peterson. How do you measure the value of God's gift to you? Well, I just want to suggest three simple ways this morning, and not maybe so simple, but at least straightforward. Here's the first one. God's gift to you is measured by its usefulness. What is the usefulness of God's gift to us? Notice in the verse 9 in the scripture we read, the usefulness of the gift. So we might live. Jesus says it this way, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. This is in John 10:10. In other words, what a promise God has given us. That God has promised that He had come to give you life. And not just existence, but life which means something that would be an abundant life. Life that's something that is worth something. Life that is abundant life. Life with a purpose. Do you have purpose in your life this morning? Are you experiencing that purpose that God created you and put you in this world? A life which has value, a life which has meaning, a life which has eternal consequences and benefits? A lot of times we don't necessarily experience that because we don't necessarily give ourselves to God in that way. You see, God has made you special. God has made this season we call Christmas a special season, and He's made you as a special person for a special purpose. You see, in Ephesians 1:4, it says, God chose us, actually picked us out for Himself as His own in Christ before the foundations of the world, before God even created the world and created everything. God had you in His mind, God had you in His heart, and God had a reason to put you into this world at this particular time, where you are and why you are. That we should be set apart for Him. You were special. specially created, handcrafted, uniquely made for the purpose of bringing glory to God. Now, here's the fact. You are here this morning. You are in the world that you're in. You're in the family you're in. You're in the place you're in so that you can bring glory to God. Your purpose is to live a life that magnifies God, that magnifies the Lord, that encourages and supports fellow Christians to become more like Christ, to use your gifts and your talent to help in others, to tell those who don't know Jesus that there is good news. Your purpose is to bring glory to God in all that you do and all that you say. Now, the question I'm trying to get you to ponder this morning is, do you use your life to bring glory to God because you honor Him? He is the one you trust in. He is the source of your life. He is the one that gives you what makes meaning in life. He is the one that lifts you above this world to give you what life is meant to be in the first place. Because if you're trying to live on your own, or you're trying to live on your circumstances, or you're trying to live on the things that are happening to you in the world, you might be very disappointed. You might be very depressed. You might be very discouraged if you're looking to yourself and your circumstances to the reason that you find purpose in life. But if you're looking to God and to bring glory to God, you will find something that lifts you out of that and lifts you above that. God's gift of salvation came to us at Christmas, and it is to be useful to give us life, to give us meaning and value. Our purpose in that is to bring glory to God. So that's the first thing, the way you judge a present, is its usefulness, how it's used in your life. Here's the second thing. God's gift to you is measured by its cost. You know, the King David said if he was going to give a sacrifice to the Lord, he was going to give his best, something of value he wanted to bring before the altar of God, something of worth. So why would David say that? Because that is what God has done for us. He has given his all to us. He has given his most precious gift he could possibly give. Something of worth, something of value, something that is one of a kind. He gave his son. Look at that verse 10 again that we read. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that God loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice for you, that you might have life. God knew what had to be done to change your life, to make life what you want it to be and what he knew you needed. He knew what price he had to pay. He knew what it was going to cost him, and he knew that he was going to send the best gift that you would have ever received or ever been possible for you. He sent Jesus Christ, born as a child, to grow up for the salvation of the world. If he gave that much for you, what should you give to him? Fact is, God's gift to you is very valuable. It's not only useful, but it's valuable. God sent Jesus Christ to give you life, to die. That's the cost with faith. Well, here's the last point of this message today. God's presence to you is measured by its effectiveness. Why did God send his son to die for you? What is the love of God? What's it intended to do? Let me tell you. God sent Jesus into the world at Christmas to change you in your circumstances where you try to give yourself life and where you try to live above it on your own because you can't. And if you try that, you will fail. If you try that, you'll be in misery. If you try that, it will not succeed. God sent Jesus to change you out of you being able to take care of yourself to change you so that you would trust in God and depend upon Him and let Him give you what you need. Verse 11 says this, if God loved us like that, then we ought to love one another. Ought sounds like a suggestion, but it's not. It's not just some suggestion that God is making to us. The Greek word for ought could be translated must. The root word actually means this, to owe something. You owe a payment. You are under obligation. You must pay it back. Let me restate the last part of verse 11 again. If God loved us like that, we certainly must love one another. Why? Because God is not done loving the world yet. God is not done loving you yet. He wants to keep loving the world. And He wants to keep loving you and through me. That is the way God loves the world. When we love one another, that love that God has for the world comes through us. It's a channel through us. He wants to keep loving the world through you and me. Jesus said it this way. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a lampstand. And if they do, it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine. Let it shine before men and women and boys and girls in the world, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Does God's love change you? Does it affect how you behave, how you act, the decisions you make? Does it affect the way you treat other people, the way you love and forgive, and are God to them because they see the love of God through you? You see that is what love is intended to do. It changes us into loving, compassionate people who care for the needs of other people, for those who are around us. God wants to love the world, but the way He does it is through you and through me. Are you willing to let God show His love through you? This is how God showed His love for us. God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage that we've done to our relationships with God. My dear, dear friends, if God loved us like that, we certainly ought to love each other. So what am I trying to say? God's gift to you, the greatest gift that you will ever receive, is useful. It gives you meaning and value because God loves you more than anything in this world. And it brings glory to God. God's gift to you is valuable. That gift of Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins and set you free. And God's gift to you is effective because if you let it, it can change your life. So you love the way God loves. And that's the best Christmas present ever. That is the reason for Christmas. It is Jesus Christ and His love for you. And I don't know how many ways you can say it, but when you talk about Merry Christmas, you're talking about the joy that God gives you when He sent His Son into the world to give you life. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we come to You this morning to thank You for Your gift of life in Jesus Christ. Lord, as we come together and are reminded of the way Jesus came on that first Christmas out of Your love, we just thank You, Father, so much for giving us all that we need and giving us what we need this morning to change our life that we might be new and renewed and blessed and loved. Oh God, I just pray that on this Christmas Eve, that as we come and surrender ourselves anew to you, that we will let the Christ child once again be born in us. Oh God, we thank you for that gift of Jesus. We thank you for Christmas. And God, now, as we give our lives anew to you, we just thank you that we can come and once again experience Christmas, the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in his name. Amen. Well, brothers, the gift is the love of God in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, would you go from this place and love one another? Share that love. And may, by loving others, God will use that to let his love be shown and be known in a world that needs it desperately. Go with God, and God goes with you. And peace, brothers and sisters. Merry Christmas. Amen.